The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying. They stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You'll be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. I believe the first reading is pretty strong. Were you paying attention? So when we commit a sin, we're a son of the devil. It's pretty strong. I think any of us would put over a room, "Here lives the son of the devil," or "the daughter of the devil." Probably not. It's very short reading, just, you know, 3-4 verses, but and he repeats it over again. St. Ignatius says we should be ready to die, right? Rather than commit mortal sin, die rather than commit a venial sin. Ignatius basically is saying the same thing. Yesterday I was teaching a class to a group of people in the exercises, and they said, you made your gender confession, right? Yes. And that means you're not going to sin ever again. Is that true? No, Father. Well, why do we sin? You made your gender confession, many of you. A lot of you come to daily mass and even take the same place when you come. I see you're taking the same place. You're kind of attached to that place, right? Right, Joan? Right, Elvira? Right? You like that, Teresa? You like that first place, right? Nothing wrong with it. The thought occurred to me, I think we sin for several reasons. I think the first is this, and I think you'd agree with me, is that we pray, but we lack fervor. I really believe that. We pray, but we don't pray with fervor, with fire. But we pray, and our prayer starts to become kind of lackadaisical, if I can use the word mediocre. And it is prayer, but it's not the way God wants us to pray. Second, I would say this, is that our communions could be much more fervent also. Hello? And third, I think that our devotion to Mary, we got it, but it starts to, little by little, it starts to decline. So what I've said, using three different ways in which we pray, is we're lacking fervor. I think that's the principal reason why we sin. Now some of you might say, "Well, Father, how can I be fervent?" Hey, you gotta you got to be praying. You got to be praying constantly to the Holy Spirit to give you fervent prayer, fervent communions, and fervent devotion to Mary. The Holy Spirit. Probably you Californians don't know what the word bellows means. Probably not. That's a word. Spanish is fuelle, which is taken from French. Maybe in Spanish you don't even know what that means. Fuelle or bellows. If you're from the East Coast, we have, this time in the East Coast, you would have fires in the homes. Wood fires. And how are you going to keep those fires alive? Those are called bellows. So there's a word from the East Coast, okay? Bellows. And you keep the flames, the fire. Well, that's what we have to do in our prayer life, in our Eucharistic life, in our Marian devotion. Got to keep it burning and growing and fervent. And not just once a year, not just when we do our general confession, but every day. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. And the fourth cause, I would say, is that lack of self-knowledge. Lack of self-knowledge is that we sin because we don't know ourselves as well as we should. Now, why don't we know ourselves as well as we should? I think because we don't want to know ourselves. It's too painful. It's painful. Self-knowledge is painful. You got to be humble and strong, valiant, to look at yourself in the mirror. I think sometimes we don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror because we're going to see the gray hair, maybe the white hair, the wrinkles, las arrugas, right? Maybe even the bad breath, you know, that we can even smell when we're looking in the mirror, huh? So because of that lack of self-knowledge, we're taken off guard. When we're tempted, we fall because we are not aware of what leads to sin. And lastly, I'd like to say, this is very Ignatian. When we're in desolation, that's when God tempts us. So when we're in desolation, that's when God tempts us. We got to be doubly vigilant and aware that we are under attack. The devil, the flesh, and the world sometimes work together to knock us down. But I really believe, hopefully you'll listen to me, if today you really pray fervently, you make a fervent communion, and you your rosary well, when you go to bed, you can say, Lord, I thank you today I did not sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that shocking you? You can go through a day where you're not sinning. You're living out the first reading. But hey, you got to make a good communion. You got to pray the rosary. Well, maybe you can pray four rosaries today. Okay? Nothing wrong with praying another and another and another. When you're living in the presence of God, and when these temptations come, what do? You reject them right away. You got a spiritual bulletproof vest, okay? Like a bulletproof vest, remember that? You get a spiritual bulletproof vest in which you're tempted, but you reject. And every time you reject, you're growing in holiness. That's the first reading. That's the first reading. So we are sinners, but we have to be constantly on guard to be rejecting all that can lead us to sin. Don't have too much time, but I think today merits a few words on the saint that we celebrate today. So this week, my friends, we celebrate the American saints. Now, we celebrate Mexican saints, right? But this week we celebrate the American saints. Filipinos have one or two. We've got several saints, and we celebrate them in the first week of the year. Praise the Lord, right? And hopefully you're not offended, but this saint is from where I was brought up and raised. This saint is not from Los Angeles, no? This saint is a New Yorker. From New York. From the high society of New York City, huh? She would be a Yankee fan if the Yankees were around, but they were not around when she was living. She lived at the time of George Washington. Did you know that? Lived at the time of George Washington. She was born a Protestant, born an Episcopalian. Her father was a doctor. So she was brought up and raised as a good Christian. Her father taught her to help out the poor. And her aunts and relatives taught her to read the Bible and to pray. So she had a good Christian foundation. So she was highly educated. She was called to get married. She married William Seton. Was a very rich man who owned a shipping company, which was very rich and very successful. She had 5 children, 3 daughters and 2 sons. And she was very happy. Very happy Christian woman, wife, mother, spouse, good Christian. But God intervened. Her husband's business went bankrupt. Lost all his money. Was God's will. And her husband got tuberculosis. So they had some friends in Italy, the Felici family. And they told her, why did you come to Italy where... Have any of you ever been to New York? Very humid, okay? New York City? Much more humid than LA. So they said, why don't you come to Italy and that weather will be better for you. So they decided to ship. They didn't have planes back then. To have a voyage to Italy, and on the way he got sicker. And that time there was a sickness, so he had to be quarantined for about 6 weeks. And he got worse and worse. And when he was finally allowed to go and to be with the family, he got so sick he died. So Elizabeth becomes a widow. She's very young. So the Felici family would be a Protestant family or a Catholic family? In Italy, all were Catholic back then. So apparently, this family talked to her about the Catholic faith, and something happened. She decided that she would become a Catholic. So she became a Catholic in Lower Manhattan, the Church of St. Peter, if you've ever been there to Manhattan. Not Manhattan Beach, the real Manhattan, okay? Manhattan Beach, that's artificial. Yeah, the real Manhattan, okay? And she became a Catholic. And as a result of that, her friends and her family members rejected her. They ostracized her. And all of her children became Catholic. So right now, she doesn't have barely any money. So she decided to open up a boarding school for girls. A boarding school in Maryland, in Baltimore. And then what happens is these women start to surround her. They really like her. They see her as a mother figure. And she founds a religious order. The Sisters of Charity. And then she becomes the foundress of the parochial school system in the United States. So if you've ever, your children go to a parochial school, and I think some of you have your children who have gone to parochial schools, that's because of the saint that we celebrate today. 2 of her daughters became religious, but they died when she was young. A lot of suffering. So in her 40s, this great woman gets sick and she dies. This was one a woman that did, she was an Episcopalian Christian. She was a spouse, a mother, a widow, a foundress. She was also, she started the parochial system in the United States. But above all, she was a great saint who really loved the church, really loved God, really loved her family, really loved her husband, really loved education, really loved the orphans, the poor, because she really tried to help out the poor. But primarily, she was a great lover of God. So I think we really have to pray to this saint today, because hopefully I'm not scandalizing you, but basically education is in crisis. Education in crisis. About 3 months ago, my father died. Once my father retired, he dedicated himself to his wife, his children, his grandchildren, and in promoting good education with the money that God had given to him. So I really believe in the importance of good Catholic education. So let's pray the saint that we celebrate today. And tomorrow we're going to be celebrating another American saint. Should I tell you who he is or leave you? Saint John Neumann. So he in Philadelphia established, he built about 100 churches in about 6 years. Can you imagine that? Building close to 100 Catholic parochial churches in 10 years. That is incredible. And he promoted, like this saint, solid Catholic education. So the saints that we're going to be celebrating today, tomorrow, and the following day, I won't tell you who he is, I'll leave you in the air, okay? Are great saints that believed in helping the poor, but promoting education, but good, solid education. Saint Elizabeth Seton, pray for us, and pray for our children. Amen.